I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joining us here on the DA Show, a very close friend of mine who has covered the Spurs for a long, long time. Every time there is a Spurs deal that goes down, a Spurs story, a Spurs soap opera, and there's not many of the soap opera parts, always lean on him for perspective. Because he's been there the longest, he knows what's going on, and yesterday the Spurs trade away an NBA Finals MVP and a guy that could have been the cornerstone for a long time there. My good friend Hector Ledesma from San Antonio, sports director, Sports Tonight, also the member of KCWX Television in San Antonio. Mr. Hector Ledesma, how you doing, buddy?
So you're telling me David Carr and Derek Carr aren't the same guy?
I just learned that this morning, so that's my bad. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. First off, do you think the Spurs got the best deal they could for Kawhi?
Considering the circumstances, yes. And here's why. When Kawhi made the trade demands and he said he wanted to go to L.A., the first thing you thought from a Spurs perspective was assets, young players, draft picks. You didn't think, okay, they're going to get an established all-star just because the Lakers and the Clippers don't really, I mean, this is pre-LeBron. So, and even if LeBron was on the roster, he's not going anywhere. So you looked at the makeup of those rosters and you thought, well, there's no one on that team who's of quote-unquote equal value, you know. So, okay, let's get young guys, Brandon Ingram, a Kyle Kuzma, you know, can you do a sign and trade with a Julius Randle, you know, draft picks down the line. Same thing with the Celtics, too, and the Sixers, you know, the Celtics with that big old war chest they have, not to mention Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. So when those guys became untouchable, you know, man, boy, the Spurs are kind of in a rough spot. They're going to have to slow play this thing, get into the season, and then hope that somebody gets desperate near the trade deadline. You know, one of these contenders, maybe Philly, maybe Boston, maybe LA. One of these folks says, okay, we've got to make a move, and we're not going to do it as, you know, we just stand pat. So for the Spurs to get a four-time All-Star out of this, I think is as good a deal as they could have gotten, considering the days of the big-name blockbuster trade, you know, where you give up one star and you get another, those days are gone. So given what I just described, and given the construct of the reality of the pro sports trade where salaries have to match and the numbers have to work, yeah, I think considering they got the best deal they could.
How much of the trade talks do you think were centered around not wanting to go through a rebuild because of where Pop is in his coaching career? I mean, maybe they could have gotten young pieces and draft picks, but do you think that they avoided that because Pop didn't want to go through lottery season to this point in his career?
You know, D.A., I think it was more along the lines of let's try to get what we think is the best value for Kawhi in terms of just straight-up value. Like, you know, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, those guys I just named, Josh Hart, they're nice, young, up-and-coming players. But let's say that neither one, it's unlikely. Those guys are pretty, at least one of those guys will probably turn into a multiple-time all-star. But let's say that those guys kind of plateau. I mean, I think it's safe to say that those guys, if they plateau, they're not going to have as good an NBA career as DeMar DeRozan has had. And oh, by the way, DeMar DeRozan is still going to be only 29 years old by the time the season starts. So I think it was about, hey, let's make sure we get to get the best deal possible for Kawhi. And if it's going to include an up-and-comer, yeah, we'll take that. We want some good young players, but we also want the draft pick so that this thing keeps on moving forward. So I think it was more along the lines of, hey, look, we can get a guy who's been there. He's been to four All-Star games. I know he's had the playoff troubles, and, you know, LeBron did it to him again this past postseason. But I think it was more about getting the best possible value for Kawhi right now in terms of what they're giving up in Kawhi Leonard.
Hector Ledesma joins us from KCWX My2 in San Antonio to talk about the Kawhi Leonard deal. So there was some thought, there were the reports that they just did not want to trade with the Lakers no matter what because they didn't want to send him somewhere in the West. But does anything prevent the Raptors from, before the trade deadline, sending him to the Lakers or Clippers? I mean, is it possible we see Kawhi out West just in a couple of months anyway?
I don't think so for this reason. If you put yourself in the Raptors' shoes, you made this deal because you think that you have a shot to win the East right now. With LeBron no longer there, with Boston and Philly only getting better as the years go on, your shot to win the East is now. And I think they looked at their roster and they thought, we're good, but we're not good enough. You know, I mean, the Raptors' current day remind me of the old Spurs, the pre-Duncan Spurs, the David Robinson, Sean Elliott Spurs. You knew they were going to win between 50 and 60 games, sometimes 60-plus. You knew they were going to win maybe a playoff series just about every other year. But you knew the ceiling was the conference finals. They weren't going to do anything, and that's the Raptors go beyond that point. And that, to me, is the Raptors in the LeBron being in the East era. Now that he's gone, I think they're looking at the chance to strike. So if that's the mindset, if you've given up DeMar DeRozan, a guy who was not only a four-time or is not only a four-time All-Star, but wanted to be there and gave up the chance to go to L.A., you know, when he had the chance, you know, he's from Compton, you know, and he's a guy that could have easily gone back West and played somewhere else and you know, sought the limelight, sought, you know, a better situation, if you will, although, you know, Toronto's, you know, as we mentioned, has been pretty good the last couple of years. If you trade away him for potentially a one-year rental, and then you get, you know, who's one, arguably one of the five best players in the league when healthy, and then you trade Kawhi Leonard for a bunch of young players from the Lakers, how are you in any better position to strike now that LeBron's not in the East? I mean, do Josh Hart, Kyle Kuzma, all those names that I've said a couple of times, do those guys, a package of those guys, do a team with Kyle Lowry, you know, Obi and you know, Ibaka, does that core give you a chance to beat the Celtics and the 76ers in a seven-game series? I think that's a pretty obvious no. Whereas if Kawhi's right and you add him to that Raptors core, maybe they might be able to right now, not in a couple years from now, but right now beat a Sixers team that's still coming into its own and a Celtics team that I think is going to be pretty darn good. But if you're going to beat them, now's the time to beat them.
Kawhi Leonard's an NBA Finals MVP. Kawhi Leonard was the cornerstone of the franchise once Tim Duncan started to get up there in age and obviously retired. But did the San Antonio fans eventually turn on Kawhi Leonard, as loyal as they are, for his behavior at the end of the season and this offseason?
Yeah, turned, for lack of a better term, D.A., I think turned is appropriate. I mean, I'll put it to you this way. It's, for several weeks now, it's been just do this thing, get rid of him. It was kind of the stages of grief. You know, at first it was denial. Oh, he doesn't really want to leave. And then it turned into, you know, I'm not bright enough to remember what the actual five stages are in order. But I think by the time we got to these last couple of weeks, it was pretty obvious. And it was like, okay, let's just get this over with. And, you know, by all accounts, most reactions yesterday from a locals perspective were good riddance. You know, good riddance. All right, see you soon. You could have been this. You could have had that. You could have, you know, he's leaving $80 million on the table to top this off. And that's what, you know, Spurs fans to a certain extent find that extremely insulting. What was so bad here that next year you're only going to be able to sign a four-year, $180 million the next year? If he leaves the Raptors after that, the max deal he can sign is even less than that, all while 5 years, $221 million was on the table here in San Antonio. So, and then the day-to-day, the specifics, you know, him not ever coming out and saying anything along the lines, except for along the lines of, I want to be here and let me clear the air and this is what's going on. He did that twice during the entire NBA season last year, when every other week you were getting updates through his camp and through his people of, this is going on. Well, he's not happy with this. Well, this, well, that, well, that, well, that. I think after folks just got tired of it after a while. And so, unfortunately, I think for him, and the place, the mantle that he could have continued to carry, I think it was a sad ending for him here in San Antonio.
Hector Ledesma joins us from San Antonio. What's your best guess? We got about a minute left. What's your best guess on what created such incredible friction and this chasm between him and Pop?
Well, it's pretty simple, Dan, and it's not even really a guess. It's through people I've talked to, sources. Essentially, it comes down to this, and I can get it in here in the next 45 seconds because it is this simple. Kawhi gets hurt. He's on his way back. He doesn't quite feel right. The Spurs doctors say, hey, okay, we understand, but you're medically cleared to play. Take your time. At that point, he then goes to seek advice in New York. Doctors in New York, so one of them closely working with Philly. At that point, the door, for some odd reason, begins to shut on the Spurs. The Spurs are kind of left out in the cold. No communication with Kawhi from there on out. Players get frustrated. Pop gets frustrated. Hey, whatever's going on, talk to us. Tell us what's going on. Communication pretty much stops. Brings us to April. He's not even with the team on the bench come playoff time. And then from that point on, just a couple of weeks later, it was a trade. It was the demand for a trade.
I mean, but that seems so incredibly dramatic that would cause all of that. Do you think Kawhi's in the wrong for being too stubborn?
I think he cost himself a lot of money for being very stubborn. But here's the thing, DA, is if he was set on going back to L.A. and that was most important to him, then, you know, to each his own. I'm with you. I can't understand why a guy would leave that much money on the table and a chance to play for an organization that is, if not the best in sports, and right there, the top two or three best, and an envy of the way all sports, all teams, and all sports want to, you know, handle their business and the success they want to enjoy. But if the bottom line was, I want to go back to LA, and for a number of different reasons, not just because it's home, but maybe he's thinking about the next stage of his career, even though he's still a young guy, to each his own. That is what's puzzling, is what was so bad that drove him away, because it wasn't comments by Tony Parker or Manu Ginobili or Greg Popovich. If that's the case, then you demand a trade, but you demand a trade to go anywhere. He was demanding a trade specifically to L.A. Once you do that, comments made by former teammates or now former teammates, really, that argument really doesn't resonate.
Hector Ledesma joining us from KCWX Television, My2 in San Antonio. Follow him on Twitter for the latest on the Spurs for all you guys in Texas. And we got a ton of Spurs fans listening right now at Hector Ledesma JR. Hector Ledesma JR on Twitter. My man, always good to catch up, brother. Thanks so much.
All right, buddy. We'll see you soon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.